welcome to the discipleship group breakout. My name's Brandon High. I have the privilege of serving as the executive pastor at our Frontline Edmond congregation. And thank you guys for taking time to come to Life Together this morning. And thank you for coming to this breakout. I hope it's really, really helpful for you. You can see kind of my subtitle here is where friendship leads to spiritual formation. And that's really what the heartbeat of the discipleship group rhythm is. And so my hope today is that you hear some things that sound familiar to you, but also that you're reminded and maybe we recast some vision as you guys think about your own community groups for the year of 2025, and specifically as you think about discipleship groups for 2025. Well, I want to start with a story. A few years ago, a young lady walked into church at Frontline Edmond, and nobody had met her before. She came by herself, and at the end of our service, she went up for prayer, and there was a group of ladies that prayed over her, and she went on her way. And then next Sunday, she came back and received some more prayer and went on her way. And she kept coming back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And finally, she was invited into our community group. And she started attending our group, and we started getting to know her. We started learning more about her life. She was a single young woman who was pregnant. And so she had a lot, you can imagine, she had a lot going on in her life. She ended up plugging into one of the women's D groups in our community and began to really open up. About our life and about the things that were going on in her life, things that had happened in her past, things that were happening in the present. And man, she was overcome with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of anxiety on so many levels. So many times I can remember my wife picking her up to take her to our kids' soccer practice, and we would stop at a stoplight, and she was so anxious that her leg would be shaking and our car would be shaking at the stoplight. And but over the course of time, as she began to build friendships in the context of our group with the ladies, both married and single in our group, we started to see some things change in her life. We started to see life change happen. And eventually this young woman came to know Jesus. And she delivered her baby, and she became a part of our group. And it was this really sweet season where we watched relationships and friendships get built that led to deep and lasting spiritual formation for this young lady. I watched this young woman be sharpened by other ladies in our group, and I watched the ladies in our group be sharpened by this young woman. And so this morning, I want to have an important conversation with you about the rhythm of discipleship groups. And my hope is that at least one thing we discuss resonates with your heart about why this rhythm matters for our community groups and why it matters for the health of the individual people in our C groups, which you guys lead and which make up our church. And so I want to start with, there's a handout on your tables. I'd love for you to grab that. It's a simple way to kind of follow along and take some notes. There's a few fill-in-the-blanks, kind of old-school style. But you can follow along with me with that handout. But I want to start with number one, the importance of discipleship groups. Discipleship groups are of deep importance for every single community group across all Frontline congregations. They have an impact on the entire group as well as each individual in the group. And you know, a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. And so if your faith is in Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Redeemer, and he's our hope. And the great news of being a disciple of Jesus is that the gospel frees us from trying to impress God and others, because Jesus actually already impressed God for us. He's taken our place. Instead of separation from God, we've been given life and we've been given righteousness. And as disciples, we actually never graduate from the gospel. It's the lifeblood. The gospel is the lifeblood of what it means to be a disciple. And so whether we're 7 years old or we're 97 years old, we need the gospel every day of our lives. And this is why discipleship groups matter in community. We need the transforming power of the gospel in the everyday things of our lives. Discipleship groups exist for us to walk out the gospel with men and women in our church family. And we desperately need other disciples of Jesus to point us to the truths of the gospel and pray for us. Discipleship groups, as many of you know, are the second rhythm of community groups. And as a friendly reminder, here's how we define discipleship groups. They're gender-specific groups of three or four who gather regularly to know and encourage one another in their walk with Jesus. And so my focus in our time today is how discipleship groups lead to spiritual growth and maturity. It's about friendships that lead to spiritual formation. And I love what Jonathan Dodson says in his book, Gospel-Centered Discipleship. He says, the gospel is for disciples, not just, quote, sinners. Fortunately, the gospel is big enough to handle my failures, and Jesus is forgiving enough for my distortions of what it means to follow him. In fact, the gospel of grace is so big and strong that it's reshaped my understanding of discipleship. As I continued to, quote, disciple and read the Bible, I was struck by the fact that the disciples of Jesus were always attached to other disciples. They lived in authentic community. They confessed their sins and struggles alongside their successes, asking questions of their Savior and casting out demons. They continually came back to Jesus as their master and eventually as their Redeemer. So friends, if community doesn't draw us into a deeper, more dependent relationship with Jesus, it will quickly become another way for people and for us to hide in plain sight. Community is where our everyday lives meet the gospel, and we're actually formed into the image of, into the likeness of Jesus. And as we gather in discipleship groups, trust and safety are built with one another and will be more effective in discipling one another. The gospel touches every part of our lives. It actually has the power to change every part of our lives. It has the power to change our thoughts. It's got the power to change our actions. It's got the power to change our very hearts. It's got the power to change marriages. And it actually has the power to change how we approach singleness. According to Tim Keller, he says, the gospel changes us by revealing that we are more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe, yet more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared hope. The gospel leads us to deep humility and confidence, liberating us from pretense and fortifying us against life's difficulties. Essentially, it transforms us at the core by showing the depth of God's love despite our sinfulness. And so without a doubt, we must be in deep community with other followers of Jesus. And this is what discipleship groups provide for those in our community groups, the groups that you're leading. Without this rhythm in our groups, it could be really easy for men and women to actually fake the Christian life right in front of us. And so we must continually come back to Jesus as King of our lives. And many times we actually need other believers, we need other disciples to help point things out in our lives and point us back to the King. And so we share our lives with one another. We share the good, we share the bad, we share the hard, and we point each other to Jesus. In gospel community, we all have something in common. We have a deep-rooted need for Christ. The gospel actually unifies us no matter our ethnicity, no matter our background, no matter our story. We need this rhythm of discipleship groups because it's the place, it's the space in our church where we can be fully known, we can confess sin, and we can repent from sin. And it's the place where our brothers and sisters graciously speak and pray the gospel into our life. And so that's a quick shot at the importance of D groups. And second, I want to address the impact of discipleship groups. The impact of discipleship groups. You know, over the years I've experienced the joy of watching discipleship groups change people's lives. And so I just want to share with you a few ways that I've actually seen this happen. The first is strengthen relationships with God. A few years ago, I had a friend, this isn't his real name, but we'll go with Mark. And Mark and his wife started coming to our community group. And as they began to visit family meals, you wouldn't have thought anything different about their life. They just seemed like a normal young married couple that were trying to make ends meet and figure life out in the city of Edmond. Well, as they continued to come to our group and as they eventually got plugged into to discipleship groups, things started coming to the surface. And we started learning that there was a lot of discord in their marriage. And a lot of it was tied to some habits that Mark had developed with alcohol. And so he was struggling. And you wouldn't have known that just having met them the first or second, even third time. But he started opening up. And he started sharing, and we started sharing scripture with him. We started praying with him. We started offering accountability in his life. And as he built these friendships in the context of our D group, as he received prayer, as he encountered God through the scriptures, he saw his need to repent. I mean, he realized that his life was headed down a really terrible road, and his marriage was actually in trouble. His wife was on the verge of wanting to separate and leave him. But in that season, he decided to get help. And by God's grace, he's free from alcoholism. His marriage is healthy. They have a couple of kids now. And they're doing really well today, which is super encouraging. But the friendships that he built in D group, they didn't judge him. We didn't judge him. We pointed him to Jesus, and Jesus actually did the rest. And his relationship with God was strengthened. A strong personal relationship with God is we believe this as a church, it's absolutely foundational to human flourishing. And D groups are what helps strengthen our relationship with God. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28, says this. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall fall and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Friends, faith in God's promises empowers us, empowers his people to repentance and endurance. And that's exactly what we got to watch and exactly what we got to experience in Mark's life. You know, discipleship groups fight to encourage regular study of God's word and prayer, helping people grow spiritually and model Christ-like characters in their lives. And when disciples prioritize their walk with Christ, they're actually beginning to build their life on a solid foundation. Second, discipleship groups facilitate growth in character through accountability. Growth in character through accountability. A key aspect of discipleship groups are confession of sin and accountability. It's a space in our lives where we can be fully known and still encounter the grace of God in Jesus. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 19, he wrote this. He says, "Now this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." D groups are a place where we can put the word of God into action. In James's words, we can continually become doers of the word. We're going to experience growth in Christ's likeness, in our character, as brothers and sisters fight for us, walk alongside us, and as they hold us accountable. Later in James, he writes this in chapter 5. He says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And as people in the D groups that you facilitate, that you lead in your group, as they confess sin, we're called to pray over them. We're called to move towards them. As prayers could lead to both spiritual and physical healing. We're to pray with humble confidence that God will fulfill the work he desires to accomplish in each of the men and each of the women in our groups. And I've witnessed D group helping people recognize pride. I've watched it help people recognize selfishness and impatience and instead replace those with humility, with selflessness and love, which ultimately creates impact all throughout their life. Third, D groups teach us to love sacrificially. This is super important. D groups teach us to love sacrificially. D group leads us outside of ourselves. D groups teach and model sacrificial love. Spiritual, emotional, and physical needs are inevitable if you're living in gospel community because we're all sinful humans. And in my opinion, there's no greater place in our church for us to live out the one another's of Scripture than in the context of C groups and especially in the rhythm of discipleship groups. When conflict occurs and we're able to reconcile by grace as brothers and sisters, we begin to learn to love sacrificially. When marriages are in trouble and you give up a night to meet with that couple and pray for that couple, we learn to love sacrificially. When a family in your group needs a car and you decide to buy them one, we learn to love sacrificially. When we choose to give people the benefit of the doubt and move towards tension, we learn to love sacrificially. When we use our words to build each other up instead of tear each other down, we actually begin to learn how to love sacrificially. When we babysit a couple's kids so they can go on a date night, we learn to love sacrificially. And I could go on and on with this, but in the New Testament, there are 59 one another commands that are given to us as the church. 59 commands, I believe, of what it means to actually live in gospel community. And all 59 of these commands have the potential to produce fruit in our community groups. John 13, 34, and 35 are important to consider when it comes to loving each other sacrificially. King Jesus says this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Verse 35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus, the King, our King, commands us to love each other. He adds that we're to love each other just like we've been loved by him. And friends, if this is true, since this is true, man, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? The way we love one another is crucial because Jesus goes on to say that the way that we love each other actually leads to mission. Our sacrificial love for each other will point those searching for Jesus directly to him. On a very relational level, C groups and D groups are the place in our church where each of us learn to be loved sacrificially, and in turn, we love others sacrificially. Fourth, D groups help us prepare for the dark days. D groups help us prepare for the dark days. None of us are immune to hardship and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4 makes that really clear. Where are people turning in hardship? Where are people in your group turning when they're experiencing difficult life circumstances or suffering? Some in our church turn to unwise people. Some turn to substances. Some turn to social media. Some turn to the hottest podcast or the latest self-help book. Man, I want to see them, and I hope you as a community group leader want to see them turn to their friends in Christ. I want to see them turn to the people that they're doing the deepest level of life with in their D groups. Because discipleship groups create friendships between believers who offer presence, who offer God's word, who offer encouragement, who offer wisdom, and who offer prayer during challenging life circumstances. Here's a few passages or a few verses to jot down for this. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." Galatians 5 verse 14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And last, Philippians 2:4, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." A few years ago, my mom lost her battle with cancer, and by God's grace, she went home to be with the Lord. And when I think about that season of my life, it was a dark day. It was a dark season for both me, for my wife Molly, for our kids. And if you know, losing my mom wasn't hard enough, there was a lot of relational strife happening in that season as well. And as I reflect on that season, what's really sweet is, man, when those dark days came, I was so grateful to have a community of people that rallied around us, not just me, but rallied around my entire family, that prayed for us, that loved us, that was present with us, that supported us, that held us up when we couldn't hold ourselves up. So we are really grateful we had friends like that when the dark days came. And each person in our church needs this kind of support. We don't know when the dark days are coming, but we do know that they are coming. And we need people that are going to stand by us and fight for us on the dark days. Friends who offer wise counsel, who offer their physical presence, who offer encouragement and discernment when life gets rough. And so those are just four impacts of discipleship group. There are many more, and maybe many are even coming to your mind as I was sharing those. But right now, I want you to take time to discuss with those that are at your tables. There's on your handout, there's three, I think, maybe four discussion questions. And so I want you to take the next 5 minutes and just begin to have a discussion around these questions at your tables. I hope these conversations can continue over lunch and can also continue over the coming weeks and months. But for this next section, I want to discuss how D groups impact relationships directly. D groups, as we've been talking, are a place for intimate friendships to develop. And not only do the direct relationships lead to spiritual formation, but they actually begin to impact relationships outside of the D group. Relationships between husband and wives are impacted. Relationships between with the opposite sex are impacted. Relationships between parent and child are impacted. And the way in which singleness gets lived out is impacted. And as Josh unpacked a little bit earlier, over the next couple weeks at each of our congregations, we're beginning a new sermon series called Foundations. And in this series, we're going to discuss different spaces in our lives that are foundational to following Jesus. And we're going to use these different rooms that he named as metaphors for our lives. And the bedroom is going to be the first metaphor that we look at. And so we're defining bedroom as a place of intimacy where leadership, submission, mutual delight, years of conflict resolution produces the fruit of rest, unity, safety, and oneness. And the beautiful thing about this metaphor is it applies both to singleness and marriage. And so this is why the idea of bedroom, with this idea in mind, I want to spend the rest of our time talking about how D groups both impact marriages and singleness. So number three is discipleship groups in marriage. Being in a D group profoundly impacts marriage by fostering spiritual formation, by generating knowledge of self and humility, becoming fully known and experiencing conflict resolution. So when it comes to spiritual formation, I think we would all agree that foundational to a biblical marriage is a deepening relationship with God Himself. Discipleship groups focused on studying God's word, praying together, accountability. These things strengthen our relationship with God. And when both spouses in a marriage are growing spiritually, their lives often produce the fruits of the Spirit. They become more patient. They become more forgiving. They become more selfless, qualities that directly build into the health of their marriage. A second way that D groups create intimacy is self-knowledge and humility. In other words, self-awareness. We can't fully know ourselves in a vacuum. We all have blind spots, and we all need brothers and sisters who can actually point things out in our lives and people who can actually call us to action. Discipleship groups emphasize honesty. They emphasize vulnerability. And they open communication within the group. And these practices will carry over into marriage, helping spouses express feelings and resolve conflicts more effectively. Biblical truths on topics like love and humility and unity can actually reshape how we communicate with our spouses. And as we practice these in D groups, we are more likely to practice them in the most intimate relationship that people have, their spouse. A third way that D groups create intimacy in marriage is by being fully known. The more we bring our sin into the light in D group, the more likely we are to live this kind of vulnerability with our spouse. D group, in essence, is like a training ground for living in the light. And sadly, there are many people in our church living in dark secret sin. But the accountability and prayers of the D group create an environment that actually strengthens both the individual, which has a ripple effect to impact their marriage. And so the intimacy created in marriage through confession, repentance, and forgiveness offered and received is absolutely priceless. Friends, that would be priceless. If that was happening in the marriages across our church, that would be priceless. In this, you and your spouse are intimately living out the gospel with one another. And so I want to share a real life example with you. Here's a testimony about this. A married couple, names change, Steve and Sally, were both part of a discipleship group. Through D group meetings, Steve learns about sacrificial love from Ephesians 5, while Sally gains insight into showing respect and encouragement. And during a recent disagreement, instead of reacting in frustration or anger, Steve testified that he remembered the group discussion about humility and he chose to listen to his wife first. Sally, inspired by a friend's testimony, decided to pray with Steve about their disagreement instead of argue. The discipleship group's engagement with the scriptures and sharing helped them resolve the conflict in a Christ-like way. Discipleship groups are a space in our lives for intimate friendships to develop. These relationships developed in D groups will impact the health of marriages, I believe, all across our church. And as a frontline elder, I spend a lot of time praying for marriages. I spend a lot of time going to war in prayer for the marriages in our church. And I can speak for all the elders. We deeply desire for marriages to flourish in our church. But our people must be in gospel community, and they must be in a discipleship group. For my single friends in the room, let's talk discipleship groups and singleness. Being a part of a discipleship group can profoundly shape a person's experience of singleness by, again, offering spiritual formation, offering support, and a clear sense of purpose. D groups can provide a journey towards maturity in Christ. Spiritual formation fosters a sense of identity rooted in Christ rather than relationship status. D groups can provide a support system which offers meaningful relationships, reducing feelings of loneliness or isolation that can sometimes accompany our single friends. D groups can provide accountability, encouraging each other to pursue godly living, addressing struggles or temptations unique to single people. And D groups can provide a God-given deeper purpose. Singles often have really unique opportunities to serve and focused on ministry, which D group can actually help nourish, direct, and guide. Here's another real-life example. Imagine Sarah, a 28-year-old single woman who recently joined a discipleship group at Frontline. Initially, Sarah struggled with feelings of inadequacy, believing her life lacked fulfillment because she wasn't married. But here's her testimony. Through the group, she explored passages like 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul highlights the advantages of singleness and serving the Lord, and her group prayed this into her life. She opened up about her struggles with contentment. She found encouragement from other ladies in the group, some married, some single, who reminded her of God's purpose for her life. Inspired by these discussions and the prayer, Sarah began volunteering with a city partner, using her time and gifts to bless others and build the kingdom. And eventually, as Sarah dove into serving with the city partner, many others from her group started serving alongside her. And so over the past year, Sarah's perspective shifted. Her singleness wasn't a limitation, but it was actually an opportunity to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. And being in a D group helped Sarah shift the focus from what she lacked to what she could give. It transformed singleness from a season of waiting for Sarah into a season of service and thriving. And so whether you're single or married, I want to offer a few applications. Here's how I want to encourage you. If you're a C group leader or an apprentice in the room, here's how I think you can encourage all of the people in your community group this year as you think about D groups in 2025. So first, we must encourage full commitment to the rhythm of discipleship groups. Full commitment. Encourage people to make this an unmovable rock in your schedule and in their schedule. We are asking everyone in a D group to meet twice a month, ideally the second and fourth weeks of each month. And we must remember that when one person misses D group, everybody actually misses out. And I'm not saying this to try to guilt or shame anyone. I'm saying this because I deeply value the fruit that comes when people are present and they actually engage the D group. If you or someone in your group has been inconsistent, we all have an opportunity early this year to renew our commitments to it. Engagement in discipleship group, you can engage the discipleship group guide regularly. The D group guide is found on pages 44 and 45 in the C group handbook. I would encourage you to look at that and use it. It's the play to run. And if you're married, encourage your spouse to participate in their own group. Make it a priority for both you, yourself, and your spouse to attend. If you have kids, watch your kids so your spouse can go. If you're single, make this an anchor in your calendar and encourage your friends to do the same. Second, we must encourage our people to put into practice what is learned, to be doers of the word. If your D group is going through the counterformation guide this semester, take it seriously, put into practice what you learn. If your D group is studying scripture or a book of the Bible, communicate what needs to change in your life and be a doer of the word by the power of the Spirit. As we do this together, we trust that God's word doesn't return void and that all of us are going to experience spiritual formation. We're going to experience Christ-likeness. Third, we must encourage our people to embrace vulnerability and accountability. As a church, we must move towards vulnerability. We have to move from living in darkness to light. We have to be willing to bring the good, the bad, and the hard to the people that we call family. We need to appropriately share challenges in our marriages and ask for prayer or advice. We need to share challenges. If you're single, we need to share challenges that you're facing. Ask for prayer and advice. Share challenges you face if you're dating. Ask for prayer and advice. Allow God's word and group members to speak the truth of the scriptures and the truth of the gospel into your life and receive it with humility. As people in your D group share, we have to listen attentively, we have to pray deeply, and we have a beautiful opportunity to learn from our brothers and sisters who want to point us to Jesus. And so being a part of a discipleship group this year, my prayer is that we'll see a ripple effect where our growing relationship with Jesus actually enriches marriage, it enriches singleness, and ultimately it enriches our church, making each testimony a story of God's grace. Because discipleship groups are the place where friendships lead to spiritual formation.